What were the years that you taught school in Gardner?
From the fall of 1917 to spring of 1919, I taught in two schools out there in Township of Gardner. The first year was this one-room school, and the second year was a state-graded school where I only taught the first four grades, and then Mrs. Shoemaker taught the other four grades, grades.
Was there a big difference between those
yes,
two?
Yes, this was a new school, of course, and we had more time with the individual child because we only had four grades. The groups were larger, the classes were larger. And it was an advantage, but the course of study was the same. We used the same manual for both schools, and those were the manuals that everybody used in the state.
Was it a state-certified teaching manual?
Oh, sure. That's the one we used when we were studying at the normal school. And we taught all the subjects, grammar and geography, history and English, and that came with the literature, of course, and the reading classes, we called them, and arithmetic. And there came, the first year I taught, one farmer wanted to put in some tiling to drain his farmland. And he came and asked me about it, where he could get some information. He came after school. And the school subscribed for the Wisconsin Agriculturist, I think the magazine was. And it was there. It just happened that I noticed an article in there about draining, how to lay the pipes and so forth. And so I got my 7th and 8th graders busy at figuring all this out, measuring his land, and it was, and they let me do things like that. They were real glad I did it. And, that wasn't in the manual, of course, part of it, but it was good for the farmer, and it was good for the children.
Did a lot of that go on, or were you an innovator?
Well, anything that would come up like that, I took advantage of, but I don't just remember what it was. It's so long ago, but I know I remember that incident. Because sometimes they'd ask, some of the farmers would ask me to check over their milk checks, it said how much butterfat that was on the bill, on the statement. How much butterfat that they brought to the factory, and how much it was per pound or whatever, however they measured. And I was supposed to figure out, see if they got the right amount of money for their milk.
Could you tell me how you were educated to be a teacher?
I went to high school first in Green Bay, and they had a teacher's training course there. But they didn't finish it somehow. They were going to discontinue that. And I remember that they called us to those of us who were in that class, teacher's training class in the high school. They called us together and told us that next year they wouldn't have that program. So they gave us a list of schools that we might go to. And they mentioned Zelgoma Training School, the Dorkiwani Training School, it was called, and teacher's training. And then there was one at Marinette, and there were others, one at Sheboygan, I think, and or Manitowoc. And I chose this one, came over here. Finished here, then.
Yeah. Did they celebrate any particularly Belgian holidays at school, since they were all Belgian children?
Or just the Kermis, I suppose. Of course, that was early. These Kermises are spaced out. They had one in Gardner. The Gardner Kermis occurred on the last Sunday, the last weekend in September. The Brussels was the first Sunday, and then in between there were the Union and I don't know what the other ones were now. Union and Red River and Theory Dames and so forth in between there, so that each locality had their Kermis on a different weekend. And Gardner Kermis, of course, I suppose, was celebrated, but that was during the war and everything seemed to stop and not too much or anything like that going on. The First World War, that was. In the first place, there weren't any young men around anymore that were, not very many, and people were extraordinarily busy, I guess, and not in the mood for celebration, I don't think.
Do you remember any experiences with the Belgian children that were particularly because they were Belgian? Or?
No, I don't. They were all the same, so it...
Yeah, it's hard to...
It's, they didn't know about other people very much, yeah. I don't suppose. We did have in the consolidated school, we did have a few families that were, one in particular was a Norwegian family. Hmm. And, but they did, that didn't make any difference to them. Of course, they just thought that's the way it was supposed to be, where they're Belgians and that's all.
Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit more about the Belgian foods? I noticed you have a cookbook of Belgian foods and about some of the dishes.
I never ate sauerkraut until I came here to school. I lived with a Belgian family when I was going to school in Green Bay to high school, and we had cabbage often in the winter because that was a staple food, was easy to keep, and we had it real often, but we always made something that they called jut of it. Sure. They parboil it, and then they drain it real well, even squeeze the water out of it, and then put a little butter or pork drippings in a pan and fry it lightly.
Ooh,
and it tastes real good. Mm. Jut, they called it. And that's a Belgian word for it. And the other, what else did we have? Leeks, the Belgians used a lot of leek. Cook it with, boil it with the potatoes or boil it separately and then make a cream gravy for it, you know, cream sauce on it. And with the potatoes in the same dish mostly. Leeks and, of course, that's a universal food. It isn't only the Belgians that did it, but I know, remember we did. We had it quite often. Otherwise, I think we just had vegetables and a lot of pork. Not too much beef we didn't have.
How about the Belgian pie? I noticed there are a lot of different kinds.
Oh, yes. The crust is the same, though. That's a raised dough. Rich, though. It has butter in it, and it's raised, though. And then they put it in a pan, roll it out, and let it rise, put it in a pan, and then they make different fillings for it. There's a rice, they cook the rice first, you know, and make a cream with milk and eggs, and then they put fruit in it, so in the there's apple and prune and raisins. Then they mix a cheese topping for those fruit pies with cottage cheese and eggs, a little cream. They used a lot of dairy products because they had lots of cows, everybody did. And then bake them. They're kind of good and wholesome.
That's great. Are there any kind of obscure Belgian dishes that aren't made much anymore but that you remember from your childhood?
No, I don't. I can't think of anything, no. I should have thought about that other people didn't have. We didn't have baked beans either. We used to have beans, navy beans, but we usually boiled them and put a little vinegar and sprinkle a little sugar on them and for taste, but we didn't have baked. I never remember my family baking beans, my mother baking beans. Those we didn't have either till left home. And peas, too. We used to boil the dried peas and have them for vegetables instead of canning them. Let them get dry. Use this for peas for vegetable.
So was Belgian pie the main holiday type dish?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had it mostly at the Kermis. I don't remember of it because they made so many when they started making those. You know, they make 100 with some people made 100 of them.
They have a recipe for 100 Belgian pies at once, or?
Well, that was mostly with a pinch of this and a handful of this, and used what they had. Of course, there was something they'd go by for that, because we have the recipes for them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great.
So much of this would make 10 pies, you know, that's, make them in tens or something like that.
Did most of these recipes come straight from Belgium?
Mm-hmm.
Or?
And there are parts of Belgium where they don't make them. Hmm. And that's such a small country, but maybe it's the Flemish, I don't know that, but I guess the Walloons do.
Oh, so are the Walloon and Flemish customs quite a bit different?
I should think they would be, because they come from different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. See, this Belgium at one time, it's a real new country. I think it's 18, it's not very much, well, it isn't as old as the United States, their own country. You see, they were always owned by somebody else. First it was Caesar, was the first when they came over to Belgium. He came from Italy over north, and he conquered all these Gauls. The whole nations of Belgium and the Netherlands and France, Germany, was a country he called Gaul. And there were three tribes there. And there were the Latins, of course, and the Northerners, and he called this tribe the Belgi, and in the Latin language, and he said Gaul in this Book of Caesar in school, when you study Latin, it says Gaul is divided into three parts. And it's so and so and so and so, and the Belgians, and the bravest of these are the Belgians, that's what he said. They were the bravest. But from then on, they were just a small country, and they never had a chance to. They did get a part of Africa after a while, but I don't know how they got that. I never found that out. But in the Belgian Congo, they owned. But they were just a small country, and every time there was a war between England and the mainland, I was right in the path where the armies went, and they were downtrodden. They couldn't take sides, really. They had to, because they were owned by those different countries. For a while, they belonged to the Caesar's organization, and then there was Germany, parts of it, and it was, they've been, what would you call it, exploited a lot.
Yeah. Hmm. No wonder they came over here.
So I think they are kind of subdued tribe.
Do you remember anything more from your childhood on a farm? You lived on a farm, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
That you think that people who aren't Belgian would like to hear about, that was Belgian custom or way of life? Or
no, I don't.
Okay, if that's it, I just thought I'd
leave
it open.
Because the hardships of the grandparents had, of course they all did.
Yeah.
When they came here, they did come with nothing. I was noticing in one of these books it said that they came and met with some people that, some Dutch and, Dutch people. They met them on the boat when they were coming over, some of the Belgian people. And they didn't know where they were going. They were coming to Wisconsin, they knew, but they didn't know where. And I think that's strange because in the other, my people said that there was a Belgian priest, a priest from Belgium that came to Green Bay, and he had a parish north of Green Bay. Father Doms, his name was, and he sent some flyers back to Belgium, some little pieces of paper, and to be read in public places. He told about on these flyers how they could get land here for little or nothing, just for settling it, you know.
Yeah.
And they were anxious to own their own land, so they came over. That was a long time ago, of course, before I was born. And that's the way they started their farms. Most others came too, though. They had attorneys and they had storekeepers, and even the storekeeper had a farm too, though, but he let the women do the farm work or something. And he ran the store, but they needed those things. And it didn't take long before when they came here, they had nothing, but they had that land was theirs, and they walked from Gardner Township to Menasha. The land office was in Menasha, and they walked there to get their deeds and paid $1.25 an acre or something. And this land supposedly had been surveyed, the land in there, but they must have surveyed it by the, they didn't go out and measure it evidently, because it was all, most of it was marked swamp land on the maps that the surveyor put out in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of swamp land too, but that didn't make any difference. They bought it for the same price anyway. Mm-hmm. But to have that much land was a wonderful thing, they thought. And of course they had to clear it, and they had hardships in between. Perils came in on the big fire of 71, and where they lost all their homes, some of them, and most of their furniture and everything, had to start all over again. But there was something there too that people in Europe heard about this, and they sent things on a they called it a commissary. They'd send it by ship, and of course the boats landed at Brussels and Union and Fairland and all these. They had little docks where the ships could land, and they sent things to them from Europe and to refurnish. But that first winter must have been terrible, because everything was gone, mostly everything. And it was hard to start a herd of cattle, because where there was none around to get, they had to go somewhere to get it. Of course, Green Bay is an old city, and there were settlements there, French and Belgian, that they could go, but they had no way to get there or come from there except to walk. Get a team of oxen, that was wonderful.
Like they really had a hard time.
But as to having different things, I think they, you know, they wanted to be Americans. That's the idea. And so they, of course, they kept some of their traditions even till now.
Well, thanks a lot for all of your memories about old Belgian days. We really appreciate it.